Hey there, welcome to the Three Creeks Q&A, our weekly podcast that answers your questions about last week's message. Every week in this series, you have a chance to ask questions, and we'll answer them. To submit a question, go to threecreekschurch.com or find us on Instagram and direct message us. To find out more about our church or to give online, visit threecreekschurch.com. And now, here's this week's Three Creeks Q&A.
What's up, Three Creeks? Welcome Q&A with your boy, John Willie Scott, the fourth.
The fourth, don't forget it.
And I'm Joel Trainer, and we've never done anything like this before.
We have not.
It's so, like we're exposing ourselves, giving you the opportunity to ask your questions every week about the message. But here we are, and we'll see how it goes. Right. We're in a series called Clarity. The first message, we gave it last week. It was about the Bible, and y'all had a lot of questions, actually.
Good questions.
Yeah. We had to trim it down. There's five that we're going to answer today. I guess maybe a few things before we get going is that this is for sale right here. This is for sale. I'm thinking we'll probably get a few million, maybe not billions, but a few million views, few million listens. And this right here, you can buy this as far as the ad space for a cool $7.85 burrito. And you think I'm kidding, but I'm not. If you want to buy me a burrito, I will wear whatever shirt you want me to wear. I probably...
Free publicity.
So, right? Well, it's not free. It's no, $7.85. Right.
You're right.
But I was thinking about this too. Maybe before we get into it, let me just say this. A lot of the questions that were asked, I could type into Google and also get answers. In fact, there's hundreds of websites and then videos and comment boards and threads. And I think what this could potentially do is you and I can be the filter of those websites, right? So if somebody goes and Googles it, you might find 25 websites that give you an answer, and they might be saying different things. And you and I are going to put in the work between when they ask the questions and when we record this podcast so that we can be a filter and share with you what is true and
for
what
sure.
aligns with the Bible. So,
for sure. And in that, I'll tell you, some of the questions that we got that I was like given to answer, I mean, I was sitting there like, I've never been in seminary school, but I'm telling you, I felt a little bit of the pressure, like, oh my gosh.
Right?
I'm all of these, disclaimer, I don't know the answer off the top of my head. And I don't want to shoot. I'm sure we don't want to shoot from the hip in any point of just giving you some answer that sounds good. But we really want you guys to get the accurate truth from the Word of God itself. And so I'm excited about it. Yeah. I really am.
So we'll do our best. We're going to pick the questions. We try to pick hard ones. There were a few repeat questions. We reworded them a little bit and kind of made it one question. But hopefully this is helpful for you. And... Question number one.
Are you ready for this? Let's do it.
Here we go.
What does it mean for the Bible to be living and active if the words don't change?
In answering this question, I've been following the Lord for quite some time now. And I had the first inclination to just go, I could say something. But just like I said before, I don't want to say anything that's just going to be shoot from the hip and sounds good. I really want to use the Word of God to sort of define what this this passage is talking about. So I'm sure that Tyler has gotten this question from Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12. But just overview real quick of just how the book of Hebrew, we don't know who the author is. The audience, we assume, is Jewish Christians in that time. And what's happening in that time period is a lot of them are being persecuted for their association to Jesus.
Right.
And so the overarching theme that the writer of Hebrews is getting or trying to give to them is that Jesus, first and foremost, is superior to anyone or anything that you can ever think of or imagine.
Yeah.
And secondly, in the time of persecution, don't fall away. Continue to put your faith and trust in Christ. So those are two things we want to remember as we're reading this book. And so that verse, when we read, when we start in Hebrews in chapters 1 and 2, the writer is sort of making this claim that Jesus is greater and superior to angels. And he sort of makes his case in that sense. When we go over to chapters 3 and 4, where we find the verse that I'm sure this question came from, we see that Jesus is being, the case is given that Jesus is superior than Moses. And it's sort of just shared through there that as Moses led the people out of Israelites, as we'll walk through this, I'm sure, at some point throughout this time. But as Moses led the people out of Egypt and build the tabernacle for them to be like meet with God in that way.
Yeah.
Jesus comes on the scene and he's the same. He's the leader of God's people, but he is the creator of the entire world in that sense. And then he goes to explain in chapter 4, where we find the verse, that he talks about, he gives the story of Israel and how Israel rebelled against Moses and forfeited themselves of entering into the promised land.
Right.
And it depicts the promised land as God's rest. So they forfeit because they just disobeyed Moses. They forfeited themselves of getting in there. And in the same sense, he's yelling to us saying, like, how much more would it be bad for us not to enter into the rest if we're disobedient to Jesus, the word? And then after that is shared, we then find ourselves in chapter 4, verse 12 there, where it says that the word of God is living and active, and goes on to explain a little bit more. But like, it's essentially saying that God's word, like Jesus, and we see in John, I know I'm throwing out a whole bunch of chapters, but
that's all right.
And John, in the book of John, it describes Jesus as being, it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, like talking about Jesus being the word. And this, like this verse here is a verse of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 is like a mirror for us to look at ourselves and go like, man, this, the word of God, it changes us. It shapes us. Like it even makes me think about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, where it talks about all scripture is inspired by God. It's used to teach us what's true. It's used to make us realize what's wrong. It's used to correct us when we're wrong and teach us what to do, what is right. And like, so the word of God, just as it like, it held extremely weight for them to do and follow that so that they would enter into the rest of God. Those words were given to Moses through the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
How much more with Jesus coming with the good news, like, how much more important is it for us to adhere and be obedient and follow the word of God as it does all these things and for us to align our lives with this so that we can enter into that rest and not forfeit it?
Yeah.
Like the it's Israelites good, man. Did. And so I know it's a lot. I hope it's a lot to like work through.
But. Yeah. And I think I hear Tyler's question. He's saying, you know, if it doesn't change, how is it living and active? I've read different parables or different stories, different verses. And I've read it one day and it kind of just goes in and out, right? Like it doesn't. And then I've read it other days where it's like that, it pierced me, for lack of a better way to put it, right? And obviously in that same verse, it says that it's like a sword that kind of cuts you and exposes you. And,
exactly.
And that's good, man.
Yeah.
That's some good digging. Let's go question number two. Here we go. I don't know what it is. So here we go.
Can we trust that the Bible was translated correctly?
This is a great question. So I believe a lot of times when this question is asked, like it's of the mind that we look at it that translations are being, there's like this translation that we take from the original Greek and Hebrew of the text.
Yep.
And then we translate from the translation and we translate from that translation.
Right.
And then it's like, I could see why someone would ask
that. How did it end up in the NIV,
right?
Like
right.
How many translations have happened to get
exactly.
us
exactly? Right? And so when it's looked at like that, I can totally see why we could be skeptical about like, man, is this really, if this was translated from a translation, like there has to be some things that are lost in that. And I think about the game of telephone.
Yeah, right.
I feel like that's how people see it. But a lot of these texts, as I did some digging here, I mean, the ones that we typically find ourselves reading, like the NASB, the NIV, ESV, New King James Version, these actual translations were translated from the original Greek,
Greek and Hebrew.
So it was like one translation from that. And I think even in that, like hopefully that helps in a sense to for some people that may think there was a translation.
Yeah.
But I think there's a small piece or a good piece of faith that comes in like, no, this is when I read things such as 2 Timothy 3:16 that I can trust and know that, and this is honestly like the inspired word of God that is true, that I could live my life by and that teaches me things.
Right.
And so that's just what I find is that it helps me in the sense of that these translations are not just these translations of other translations, but it's from, we have so many manuscripts, like thousands of manuscripts right. from back then that
we they're all the same. Like,
right.
Yeah. Right. We could get into some of that too, but
exactly.
the amount of, you know, original copies of the Bible is, you know, thousands more than any other historical book or
exactly,
you know, record of a historical event that we all take as history.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible blows it to pieces as far as reliability. Like if you looked at other historical documents with the same level of scrutiny that people are looking at the Bible, you'd have to throw it all out because
completely.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm
so no, that's
kind of getting in your way there, but
no. That was great to add on there. So
yeah. And it would be fair to say too, you know, I think kind of the sub question to Jason's question is the Bible inerrant? Is it infallible? Is it 100% true as the authors wrote it in the Hebrew, in the Greek? And you go, well, there are some words that are hard to translate from Greek or Hebrew to English.
Right.
So it sounds, I'm going to sound like a heretic to say, you know, is it 99% true? Oh man, there's probably a the and a period and a comma in English that you go, maybe that wasn't the author's original intent, but the truth of the Bible, the main ideas of the Bible, the principles of the Bible, none of that, like that is 100% true.
Agreed.
And maybe yes. there's an English sentence here or there that you go, that was translated, like some like a human not inspired by God translated that as best as they possibly could.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change the point.
Exactly.
Is that fair?
Yeah,
to say?
I agree 100%.
So if I'm wrong, whoops. All right, next question. Here we go.
The Bible was written over 1,500 years. How did all of those letters and stories come together to be one Bible? Who decided what would and wouldn't be included in the Bible?
That's a great question.
It is a good question. And it's honestly, it's a fun question to go read about. There's a lot about it. There's a lot of secular historical texts that kind of explain what happened. And here is what I kind of discovered in studying it. So like Adam said, the Bible is written over 1,500 years by 40 different people from all different kinds of backgrounds. And how do those 40 different people over 1,500 years, they read all this stuff, how does it get put into one book, 66 books, and how did it become the Bible? Is it closed? Can we take one out? Can we add one to it? Those are kind of right. all kind of in that one question. So I would answer that question this way. First of all, the Old Testament was written, you know, hundreds of years even before Jesus, right? So really over 2,400 years ago, that's when the Old Testament was written. And in Jesus' day, in the first, you know, 30 years of this, I guess 30 years AD, Jesus had absolute trust in the Old Testament. It was universally accepted as the scriptures of the as the truth written by Moses and prophets. Like Jesus quoted 14 different Old Testament books over 70 times. You see, as Jesus preaches and talks through the gospel, he refers to the historical truth that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Solomon, Queen of Sheba, Elijah, Elisha, Zechariah, like he references all of these people. Mm-hmm. Jesus also confirms a number of Old Testament stories, such as God including giving Moses the law, the manna in the wilderness, David as the writer of the Psalms, the suffering of the prophets, the episode with Lot's wife, and even controversial, like did it happen stories such as the flood, Cain and Abel, and Jonah, stories that people go, ah, is that symbolic? Well, Jesus didn't talk like they were symbolic. He referenced them as historical events.
Yeah.
So I'd say consequently, I'm not very good at English, Christians, to be consistent, should have the same view as Jesus. The Old Testament is the divinely inspired word of God. And those 39 books were kind of accepted universally as scripture at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The writing of the prophets. One of the people on our team, Erica, who is in seminary and is equipped to answer these questions.
Yes.
She's hungry, and she sent us this note this week as we were studying about this. And one of the things I read in it was somebody said, what was good enough for Jesus is good enough for me. And really, if you believe in Jesus, and if you believe that he is who he says he is, the Messiah, the Savior, God in the flesh, then you can't throw out the Old Testament because Jesus didn't throw out the Old Testament.
Right.
I mean, he referred to it as the historical truth of how the world began and how the people of Israel. We're going to get into that, obviously, through this series. Mm-hmm. And so the other question, the other side of the question is the New Testament. Like, when did that come into existence, right? Like, when did those 27 books come? And actually, it started at 22, then it became 26, and then it became 27 over the course of like 150 years. And there's a couple different councils, Council of Laodicea, there was another one that I forget. And then ultimately, at the Council of Hippo, which is one of my favorite animals, the Council of Hippo in 393 AD. So you're talking almost 400 years after Jesus is born. That's when they said, okay, these are the 27. And then 4 years later, the one that gets a lot of popularity is the Council of Carthage. There were a lot of councils of Carthage, but this one, I think it was the fourth Council of Carthage, either the third or the fourth. That is when they kind of affirmed what they had decided at the Council of Hippo, like these are the 27 books. So how do those get assembled? There's four criteria mm-hmm. for how a book makes its way into the New Testament. The first is that it's already being regarded as scripture by the church. It's been widely accepted. It's already being taught. There's not these new revolutionary ideas. It's like, this is what has been taught for 400 years. So they're not kind of saying like, who has a letter that we should put in here? It's going like, what's already being accepted as scripture mm-hmm. and truth? Mm-hmm. Number two, it was written by an apostle or somebody very close to the apostles. So, you know, this isn't four people. He said, and then he said, and then he said. It's not a story that's passed around. It's like eyewitness accounts. Right. Like most of the writers of the New Testament saw Jesus in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Matthew, Mark, Luke, like they're writing, you know, eyewitness account stories.
Yeah.
So they're not asking if somebody, you know,
yeah, it's thinks not they know.
It's not secondhand. It's not thirdhand. It's up close info, credible. Number three, it contained the same message. So there are big groups of people that are teaching corrupt anti-Jesus theology in Ephesus, on the island of Crete, you know, everywhere. In Corinth, like there's big groups of people, the Gnostics. And so these 27 books is Christian doctrine. Mm-hmm. And the principles, like the main ideas, if you will, like Jesus, his death, his resurrection, it saves us. Like those are all true all through them. So that's number three. And then number four, they all testify to being scripture in some way or another. They all kind of claim this God-ordained, like some human's physical hand wrote it, but it's inspired by God, and it kind of testifies to itself as scripture. Yeah. So
that's great.
There's my answer.
Great response.
So 66 books now, and that's the Bible. It's been that way for over 1,600 years, and I guess the word of the Lord remains forever. So
it ain't
going to change.
So
there you
change.
Go. Cool. Okay, let's go. Question number four.
Is there a resource or guide you can recommend to help someone start diving in without feeling overwhelmed or lost?
That's a great question. I believe, let me speak for myself. For me, as I started my faith journey with the Lord, and a lot of times approaching the Bible, why I felt overwhelmed and lost is because I had just a lot of it was just a lack of knowledge as to what is going on. Who are these people?
Right.
What's happening? I don't even have like a backdrop or backstory as to like, you know, what's happening to even begin to understand some of the things when you start reading a book and you start getting into the weeds of it all. So I'll share. I have like two big ones that have helped me out, and I still use them today.
Okay.
The first one is, and I know you like plug this a little bit, and we both had to do this with the Kennecook Institute, like 1 year Bible program that we both did, but there's this book called 30 Days to Understand the Bible, and that completely
written by Max Anders.
That's right. But it completely helped me understand just the overall gist of the Bible. It breaks the Bibles down into, even in the Old Testament, like historical books, prophetical books, poetic books, like, and so it gives you this, even this mindset of how to approach the text,
right,
or the book that you're reading,
right?
With okay, I can read this from a historical point of view that this event actually happened in this regards, and then like it breaks down New Testaments in certain books, but it just gives you the overarching theme as to what's taking place, what's happening, in that particular time. And it, like, that is gold for someone who's entering into reading a book, let's say like Leviticus or, right. I mean, a lot of those Old Testaments that we just get tripped right. up on, the genealogies or the Levitical law and all the stuff that they right. had to do. So great deal to like just read and just get some understanding of the background of it all.
And that's the book really that we kind of structured the whole series around. Sure. So if you want to do it, you're just going to have a huge head start and you're going to be ahead of the game. I'm going to add more than just as what is in that book, but that is a tremendous book.
Yeah. Yeah. This next one I feel like does the same thing, and it's free and accessible right now on YouTube. It's called The Bible Project.
Wait, what? YouTube?
It's on YouTube, right?
What's
The Bible Project?
What's YouTube?
YouTube? Just type it into your, what is it called? The search engine?
The internet.
Type for the internet.
Just like, go to the World Wide Webs.
Yes. Type in YouTube in the search bar, YouTube, type in The Bible Project. And literally they have, not only do they have the breakdown of each book in the Bible, but even just like certain doctrines that we find in the Bible. Like you can type in The Bible Project sin and it will give you this,
right.
this unimaginable breakdown of sin in like the Hebrew and Greek meaning and
yep.
what it means. It is phenomenal. And I promise you, if I'm teaching from, that's like in my lineup as I'm preparing for a message.
Yeah. That's where I start.
Yeah.
Just about every time.
It
I was helps. I was watching some of it yesterday, and I actually noticed on the Bible Project channel, you know, you go to Bible Project, it's going to show you a bunch of videos. It'll probably show you, like, you can go to their channel, and then mm-hmm. they have these playlists, and underneath each playlist is just so much clear information.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last one I would share, this is for, I don't even want to say like advanced still, but I think it's cool just to have. It's my wife and I think about 3 years ago, she bought us both a keyword Bible.
Okay.
And basically what it is, it's the Bible that like has words from every verse in scripture in the Bible that's underlined, and you're able to, in the back, you're able to look at the Hebrew like meaning of the word or the Greek. Cool. For it. And so it just helps you as you're reading, man, you could really see, okay, Lord is being used. It was used over here in the Old Testament. It was used over here in the New Testament. Is this meaning of the word Lord the same in both? And you yep. get to turn to the back and get an understanding and yep. breakdown of it. And so that helps to put a lot of things into context, even as you're reading the text.
Yep.
So there's many more,
yeah,
but
yeah,
those
yeah.
are three big ones for me that I love to
And I love those too. I don't have a keyword Bible, but the first two that you said, I'm all about it.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah. Brief pause for a commercial, because obviously we're sponsored. Three Creeks Kids. Come on, dude.
Come on,
Let's
baby.
Go. Spiritually investing in the next generation?
Come on.
Are you doing something better with your time? Mm-hmm. This is this 30-second spot is sponsored by Three Creeks Kids. We're building a volunteer army. We travel around to the different groups. We serve kids. We hold babies in Jesus' name while their parents are upstairs or in another room learning about the Bible. If you have a couple hours per month to give to your church, man, we'd love for you to join the kids team. So email me,
sure.
joel@threecreekschurch.com. There's the commercial. Okay.
There you go.
Last question. Friendly reminder. This is for sale, $7.85, chicken burrito. You could be next. All right, here we go.
I've used a phone app for years now, but I want to get a new Bible. What Bible translation or version would you recommend?
There's three different kinds of Bible translations in English. The first is called a literal translation. Okay, so it's literally word for word from the Hebrew or from the Greek. Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written primarily in Greek, and the translation is word for word, which means, frankly, it can be difficult to understand. Mm-hmm. It's the best to study. If you're wanting to do a keyword Bible, chances are one of them that's going to be a literal translation.
Right.
It's a word for word translation. So an example of that would be the King James Version, mm-hmm. or as I like to call it, the King Jimmy. you know, trying to keep it relevant. And or the NASB. That's probably, I would say the NASB is currently the most popular literal translation of the Bible. When we went to the Institute, they gave us an NASB Bible because that's the one that they wanted us to study while we're there. The second one is called a dynamic equivalent translation of the Bible, which is, for lack of a better way to put it, thought for thought. It's not word for word. It's three or four words for three or four words. It's far easier to understand. If you were reading it and you were new to the Bible, you could read it and understand it. There's still some, parts of the Bible that are still difficult to understand because they're using examples that maybe, you know, you're not familiar with, or verbiage that you're not familiar with. But it's the most popular versions of the Bible are dynamic equivalent versions of the Bible. So your NIV, your ESV, my recent favorite, probably in the last 3 or 4 years, I've grown to love the NLT. It's the New Living Translation of the Bible. It's what I use most at Three Creeks when I get to speak. I think it's the easiest to understand for somebody that's new to the Bible.
For sure.
So that would be called the dynamic equivalent. And then the last one would be called a free translation. There are less of them that are out there. The most popular one by far is called the Message. It's, and people dog on the Message. People,
they get a bad rap.
It gets a bad rap. Bottom line is Eugene Peterson wrote the Message. Eugene Peterson knew Greek and Hebrew better than anyone, translated it from the original text and wrote the Bible, essentially rewrote the Bible in language that anybody could understand. Indeed. So should I study the Message? No, you should not study the Message. You shouldn't lead a Bible study, you know, primarily from the Message. For me, the Message is awesome, but I have a Message Bible in addition to my NIV or my NLT, because the Message, a lot of times I'll read the NIV, the NLT, and I'm like, I don't understand what they're saying.
Right.
I go to the Message, and it's really kind of, it's the best biblical commentary out there. Mm-hmm. So I think if I'm going to answer your question very directly, I would say buy an NLT Bible. If you don't like that answer, buy an NIV Bible. And if you really want to get into this and you're nervous about not understanding one of those, then buy a Message Bible too and hold it up against your NIV. I mean, you're talking about $30 a Bible maybe or more. I don't know. Depends. Yeah. But, you know, and there's other Bibles out there too. Like there's study Bibles, there's journal Bibles, there's lots of Bibles. So whatever strikes your fancy, is that the term? Is that the way to put it? However you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to be excited about getting into it, get that one. So I have a few. I have a study Bible that I carry with me when I'm preparing to preach. Like, there's different versions for different purposes.
For sure. And I feel like I have the same sense. There's my NASB Bible.
Yep.
Where I'm like, I'm really looking to dive in, and I may have to go to the back and like understand, like, okay, what's the Hebrew? What is it really saying? And then my Bible that I would do, I mean, I'm going to use a Christianese term, quiet time, right? Where I'm just like waking up in the morning,
right?
Just wanting to read my Bible, start off my day. I'm diving into my NLT.
Yep.
A lot of the times.
Yep. And if you're reading, I hope you don't hear me dogging any translation that I mentioned, because frankly, if you're like, if you wake up and read the Message, great.
Yeah, I agree.
Great.
I agree.
Yeah, so I feel like I may have cut you off there.
No, you're good. And I just, some days when I'm feeling real spicy, I dive into my Message and I feel just as great as if I was in any of my other translations. So
Eugene Peterson, if you don't know who that is, quick little shout out to Eugene Peterson and anything that he wrote. He is the pastor of pastors. I love Eugene Peterson, and he wrote the Message. So if anybody wants to hate on it, come fight me.
I don't know, Eugene. Maybe I have to look into him.
Yeah, man. Cool.
A little bit.
All right. Well, that's week one, man. Week one of Clarity. That's the podcast on the intro of the Bible. It's not always going to be John and I. We're going to bring in guests, and sometimes it'll be me. Sometimes it'll be him. Maybe it'll be two people that aren't us. I don't know. We'll see. But we're excited about answering your questions. Reminder, after every message through Instagram or through our website, you can ask questions, and we get excited about answering them. And thanks. We love y'all. See you later.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. We hope this provided even more clarity as you desire to see God's story, your story, and how they fit together. If you're going through this series alone, you're missing out. We have small groups of people going through this series together, and we'd love for you to join one. To connect with other people, visit 3creekschurch.com to find a community group near you.